What does a CIA agent do when the weight of secrets becomes unbearable? John E. Coleman didn't turn to therapy or take a sabbatical. He embarked on the decades-long quest across Asia to find what he called the quiet mind. Working undercover in Southeast Asia during the Cold War, Coleman found himself surrounded by conflict not just in the external world of espionage, but within his own consciousness. The constant mental chatter, the endless analysis, the psychological pressure of his work, all of it drove him to ask a question that would change his life. Is there a state where the mind can be completely at peace while remaining sharp and purposeful? Think about your own mind right now. Even as you read these words, other thoughts are probably jostling for attention. What you need to do later, a conversation from yesterday, a worry about tomorrow. This constant mental noise isn't just annoying, it's exhausting. Coleman recognized that life itself is inherently conflictual. A seed must break through soil. A child must navigate the complex social world of school. Adults juggle competing demands from work, family, and their own needs. We're essentially in a constant state of negotiation with reality. Most of us cope with this relentless conflict through escape, binge-watching shows, scrolling social media, having a drink, planning our next vacation. But these are temporary band-aids that provide relief for an hour or a weekend before we're thrust back into the battlefield of daily existence. Coleman wanted something more fundamental, not an escape from life, but a way to engage with it from a place of inner stillness. His search led him to meditation masters, forest monasteries, and eventually to an experience so profound it transformed not just his understanding, but his entire way of being. Picture lying on a temple floor while your arm lifts involuntarily, guided by someone else's thoughts from across the room. In Bangkok, through his friend Colonel Vasit, Coleman witnessed demonstrations that shattered his Western rationalist worldview. A blindfolded 12-year-old boy under hypnosis reproduced words written on a blackboard's opposite side in languages he'd never studied. Dental procedures were performed without anesthesia, patients reporting no pain. Most remarkably, a meditating naval officer mentally commanded Coleman's limbs to move in specific patterns, without Coleman knowing beforehand what to expect. As a seasoned government operative trained to detect deception, Coleman approached these phenomena with appropriate skepticism. Yet at Duke University's parapsychology laboratory, ESP experiments revealed something counterintuitive. Extraordinary mental abilities emerged precisely when conscious attention was directed elsewhere. Our analytical minds, it seemed, might actually block rather than enhance certain capabilities. Westerners organize entire lives around controlling uncertainty through careers, savings accounts, and insurance policies. Thai Buddhists took a radically different approach, patient, direct exploration of consciousness itself. His position as an intelligence agent paradoxically helped his search. Extensive travel throughout Southeast Asia gave him access to teachers and traditions most Westerners never encountered. After being exposed during a 1957 political coup, he found himself with both motivation and opportunity to pursue this quest more seriously. What began as curiosity evolved into methodical investigation, not of enemy agents, but of consciousness itself. Understanding Coleman's journey requires understanding the man whose teachings would transform him, Siddhartha Gautama, who became the Buddha. Born into royalty around 563 BCE in what is now Nepal, Gautama lived in luxury until encounters with sickness, old age, and death shattered his worldview. At 30, he abandoned his palace to seek the meaning of suffering. After 6 years of extreme asceticism that nearly killed him, he meditated under a Bodhi tree until achieving enlightenment, a direct understanding of suffering's cause and cure. Buddha's revolutionary approach emphasized direct experience over faith, the Four Noble Truths, that suffering exists, originates from desire, can end, and that a specific path leads to liberation, provided a testable framework. Buddha essentially said, "Don't believe me, try these practices and see what happens." The goal wasn't heaven, but nirvana, the state where ignorance and craving are extinguished. Coleman's first meditation attempt at Bangkok's Wat Mahathai Temple proved torturous. Standing 6'2" among shorter Thai monks, he felt conspicuous. The practice, sitting cross-legged, focusing on abdominal breathing while mentally noting rising and falling, seemed simple. The reality was excruciating. Within minutes, his knees screamed. His Western mind refused to settle. Thoughts about work, family, and lunch intruded relentlessly. By the fourth day, Coleman left early, concluding these traditional practices were unsuited to his Western mentality. Yet this failure revealed his mental patterns, the constant analysis, the resistance to discomfort, the habit of seeking escape. In Burma, Coleman discovered U Ba Khin, a figure who embodied everything Coleman hoped meditation could offer. This stocky man with twinkling eyes simultaneously served as chairman of Burma's State Agricultural Marketing Board, accountant general, and the prime minister's advisor while running a meditation center. When fatigued during government work, he would briefly meditate in a specially designed office chair, then return with renewed clarity. Here was living proof that meditation didn't require withdrawal from the world. U Ba Khin Center offered intensive 10-day courses, vegetarian meals before noon only, no sexual activity or intoxicants, and a rigorous schedule beginning at 4:30 a.m. Coleman arrived enthusiastic but fell into his familiar trap, analyzing and taking copious notes rather than experiencing the practice. Despite leaving with intellectual understanding, Coleman missed the transformative experience others found. Nevertheless, U Ba Khin represented a new model, fully engaged with practical affairs while maintaining profound inner development. He offered hope that the quiet mind could enhance rather than diminish worldly effectiveness. An airport encounter in India introduced Coleman to Krishnamurti, one of the 20th century's most influential spiritual teachers who lived without possessions. Truth must be directly experienced, not intellectually understood, he explained. Human suffering stems from desire and conflict. The solution? Silently watching yourself without interpretation. He rejected organized religions as forms of escape, insisting a man is his own salvation. Over 11 years, Coleman grasped Krishnamurti's core message. Meditation isn't achievement, but an end in itself, beyond thought and time. In ordinary consciousness, we experience duality, the observer separate from the observed, creating conflict. In transcendental states, the observer and the observed become one, bringing bliss. By rejecting all authority, including his own, Krishnamurti forced seekers toward direct experience. The quiet mind emerges from choiceless awareness rather than techniques. These conversations provided Coleman crucial philosophical context for his eventual breakthrough. After years of searching, Coleman returned to U Ba Khin's meditation center in Rangoon with his wife, abandoning analysis for receptive neutrality. Within 3 days, his practice achieved crystal clarity. He systematically directed intense concentration from head to toe, becoming aware of tingling sensations and molecular motion throughout his body. This awareness of impermanence, anicca, intensified into overwhelming heat and pain as he remained perfectly still for hour-long periods. Then came the crucial moment. His desperate desire to escape the pain suddenly ceased. Something snapped. In that instant of surrender, he experienced indescribable calm and peace which passes all understanding, the quiet mind he had sought throughout his journey. This wasn't intellectual understanding or temporary relaxation, but a fundamental shift in his relationship with experience itself. U Ba Khin explained that this understanding of impermanence is accessible to anyone willing to practice. Before Coleman's departure, U Ba Khin appointed him as a teacher, authorizing him to share these practices in the West. The quiet mind wasn't achieved through complex philosophies, but through direct awareness of impermanence and the surrender of resistance. True peace requires time, which many try to bypass through drugs like LSD or mescaline. Coleman's research revealed these chemical experiences differ fundamentally from genuine enlightenment. They offer sudden onset, brief duration, and no lasting insight or personality change. While resembling mystical states, they leave only craving for the next high. Scientific studies on yogis and Zen masters reveal specific brainwave patterns during enlightenment. Biofeedback systems can train people to produce alpha waves quickly. Yet, like drugs, these technological shortcuts don't produce the self-insight needed to transcend duality and end suffering. The key lies in our relationship with suffering, regarding others with compassion and our own with equanimity. We must develop silent awareness without conscious effort, being attentive to each moment without trying to change it. When we see clearly that suffering comes from desire, the illusion of a separate self disappears. The observer becomes the observed, and we discover pure action, love. After enlightenment, Coleman taught meditation across continents before scaling back as he aged. Buddhist tradition predicts Gautama Buddha's teachings will last 5,000 years. The first half ended in 1956, precisely when Coleman began his search. Coleman's journey reminds us that true peace can't be purchased or achieved, only discovered through patient exploration of consciousness. The quiet mind transforms our relationship with conflict. It doesn't require abandoning beliefs, work, or responsibilities, simply turning inward with curiosity. The silence you seek isn't somewhere else, it's here, beneath the noise, waiting to be recognized.